Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we just bless you and thank you for this service today. We thank you for the note of victory that you've already given us. You've blessed us with your presence. And where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst. And so, Lord, you are here. Your ministering spirits are here. The glory of God is here, even to the point of it may manifest itself today in some powerful and supernatural ways. Father, we thank you that. We thank you in the name of Jesus. And all said?
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. You may be seated. I want to talk about the power of God. We've been talking about healing a fair amount, right? I have obviously throughout my life really seen the power of God flowing in our lives as demonstrated in financial areas. We started with nothing and poor and all that kind of, you know, the kids got free school lunch and all that stuff. Government cheese, that's not very good cheese. We were there. And today, to I don't know, people's definition of what's wealthy is different from one to the next, but I think we'd have to say at this point in time, Sandy and I are wealthy. That's the goodness and favor of God.
Yes, amen.
And a lot of years of following the word.
Right.
For those that are trying to make it short, Lord, I want to be wealthy and I want to be wealthy right now, you're going to run into trouble. But for those that will follow God's ways, he gives the power to get wealth, the scripture says. Amen? Amen. So we've definitely seen that in our lives, and now we're in school again, learning about the power of God for healing of the body. And would everybody agree that particularly some troubles for the body require the power of God, because nothing else is going to do it? Nothing known to medicine, nothing known to our science, nothing known to nutrition, whatever. There are natural healing processes in the body, and they will go to a point, right? And medicine and doctors help to a point. Well, when we're believing for something more than that, we look to the power of God. Amen. And so in our house, we are definitely looking to the power of God. No mistake. I understand what's going on. So medically, they would say no hope and all that kind of stuff. Well, thank God I'm not limited to medically. You're not limited to medically. Amen. Jesus said that when we've seen him, we've seen the Father, and his ministry was obviously filled with ministering miraculous healing power to people all around him, all the time, right? Jesus would teach, preach, and heal the sick. So a full Christian life will access the power of God for healing as well. Any kind of help that we need would involve the power of God. So this is something that can be used generally for help in anywhere where we need. Open your Bibles with me, if you would, please, this morning. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 1. And Paul is writing here to the church at Corinth, and he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Now, a couple of things before we go any further here. Paul says he didn't come with excellence of speech. He's saying, I didn't use great oratory technique. I wasn't a wonderful speaker that people flocked to. And he says he didn't come with wisdom, meaning, and he'll say this later, wisdom of men. Now, to know something about Paul, first of all, Paul was very capable of excellence of speech. Sometimes we see these things and think, oh, God chose Paul, and Paul wasn't all that great a speaker, wasn't educated, didn't know a whole lot. Wrong. Paul was in the finest school at the feet of the finest teachers. He was very highly educated, very capable. And when you do see him presenting an argument, there's the skill of a lawyer there. And you can see he uses the evidence of the Old Testament scriptures and lays out a case. And sometimes it's almost difficult to follow him. Peter did say some things hard to understand when he's talking about what Paul would write. In other words, Paul is very advanced. And so when Paul says, I didn't come with excellence of speech, it was not that he wasn't capable. And it was not that he wasn't educated. He was very capable, very educated. And it reminds me of Moses at the burning bush. When Moses said to God, you know, I can't speak, send somebody else. And God sort of goes, okay, I'll give you Aaron, and he can speak for you. And some have speculated that Moses had a speech impediment of some kind. I don't know that he did or didn't. It's kind of beside the point. But Moses was raised in Pharaoh's home. Moses had all of the best schooling of Egypt. If there's somebody that knew the ins and outs of all the wisdom of Egypt, who knew all the protocols, the procedures, everything about etiquette, everything there is to know about Egypt, Moses was schooled in it. And Moses was brilliant and excelling and trusted by the Pharaoh at the time up until Moses killed that Egyptian. So Moses, when he says, I can't speak, yeah, he sure could. He sure could. But he saw himself as so defeated, blew it so bad, and so hated back in Egypt, that was why he was hiding out in the desert 40 years. When he killed that Egyptian, and then somebody said something to him about it, what Moses marveled at was, I thought that they would see that I'm the deliverer of Israel, and they didn't see it. And that so affected him that he ran away, so affected him that he hid out in the desert there for 40 years before God could get a hold of him, get him turned around, and come back to his calling. Was it 40 wasted years? I'm not sure. I've taken a while here and there to get on board with God, so I'm not going to say anything about Moses wasting any time or anything like that, you know. But he's an example to us. A lot of times, oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. Oh, yeah, you can, especially with the help of God. So Paul comes, and then wisdom, when he says, I didn't come with wisdom. In Jewish culture, it was all about signs and wonders and power. But in the rest of the world, the Gentiles, the Greeks and Romans were dominant at the time, and they're all about philosophy and wisdom. You have people like Plato, great Greek philosopher, and so on. And so this is what was admired, was wisdom or philosophy or logical thought. It was all about thought and thinking and reason and logic and wisdom and all of that. So Paul rejected, when he says, I didn't come with wisdom, he came to Greek people, which the people at Corinth would be, they're not Jews, and he said, I didn't use the wisdom to make a good argument. Paul was capable of a good argument, but that's not what he depended on and what he used. We'll see that in a moment here. He said he determined not to know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So he's talking about the message of Jesus the Lord becoming crucified, and of course part of that is resurrected as well, and he is the substitution for us. And he's going to talk about the power of God. So I have heard this verse quoted to me. You charismatic folks, you think the supernatural, you think gifts of the Spirit, that talking in tongues mess and all that kind of stuff, we're going to stay like Paul and we're going to preach only Christ crucified. And what they mean is simply, Jesus died for your sins, you can be born again, which is correct, of course. But they won't go any further than that and see what the day of Pentecost was all about and the ministry of the apostles and the early church and so on. No, all that died with the apostles. Show me the verse for that. Just pointing that out while we're here. Verse 3, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. Now, I think you need to get the perspective here. When he says, I was with you in weakness, he was looking at his own humanity and saying it's insufficient for the job. Paul was not a weak individual. I mean, somebody who would preach in the face of some of the opposition he had, and when he starts going through how many times he's been beat, shipwrecked, stoned, and all that kind of stuff, that's not a weak man, right? He says, I was in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. Verse 4, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. As we start going through this, keep in mind, what do people follow these days? What are they looking for? throughout the time that I've been in ministry, there have been all kinds of organizations offering church growth seminars or various kinds of seminars, how to market your church, all these kinds of things. I'm not saying that those are totally wrong, yet for a lot of churches and pastors, it's all about that stuff. How to market, how to do your church this way, that way, you know, all those kinds of things. We've tried some of those things and so on. There was a time maybe where this worked better, but we've tried the you visited, and by the time you're home, somebody from our church is there giving you cookies. I want to thank you for your visit. Well, I don't know if we scared people off or if we actually encouraged them to come back by showing up at their house. And to show up at their house, you got to beg for their address, right? And folk don't, why do you want my address? I don't even want to give my email address to a lot of places I go, right? You're at a store, and what's your email address? Why you need that? I get enough already. I don't need an email from your store every couple of days also. And I refuse to give it, right? So it's understandable. People are reluctant for that kind of thing. So cookie evangelism didn't do a whole lot, I guess is what I'm saying, right? And nothing wrong with it. And it can really depend where's your church located and what are your people like. In the South, people are very different from people up here in the North. We can even spot it, the difference between Southsiders, or where we are out here to the South, and Northside. Go to the North Shore, go to some of those places, and people are different. Have you noticed that? Just go to Orland. It's different from here. So some of these approaches, some of these things really matter. Where are you and what are the people like? But he says that he did not use persuasive words of human wisdom. And for some individuals, that's what they want. They want a preacher who's just so persuasive. And they think that's where it's at, in persuasiveness. It says, contrasting, he says, but, in other words, Paul says, I didn't use these things, but here's what we did do. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Paul didn't approach ministry, church, helping the people, being a blessing to the people, as an endeavor to make a good argument, make a great point, all these kinds of things. He pulled his personality back and his abilities back to make room for demonstrations of the Spirit and demonstrations of power. Something that everybody would know, well, that ain't Paul. That's something better than Paul, right? Verse 5, he goes on and says, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Church, let me say to you, this is what we should do. Place faith in the power of God. All these other things we might talk about, you know, is it good for Pastor Dan to use good logic and make a good argument? Sure, I guess, nothing wrong with that. But ultimately, it's not about the logic and the reasoning and the persuasiveness. It's about, is the power of God present? Amen. Amen. And where's our faith? Where's our faith? Now, when we go to a service, many times we go to hear the word taught, and it may be presented very well, and it may be persuasive, but we never grasp the power of God with our minds. We grasp it with our faith, with our hearts. And we know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and sometimes a particular message, you know, really is persuasive to us, and our heart says, yes, 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 and faith comes, and the power of God moves. I can tell you this, the power doesn't show up because a good argument was made. The power doesn't show up because of cookie evangelism. The power doesn't show up because you're the friendliest church. And we should be the friendliest church. Don't overlook these things. I mean, why give people reason to block them from a time to really receive something from God, from the power of God? There's all kinds of things that offend people, you know, and I know you can't always be careful of every possible offense and all that kind of stuff. We live in an offended culture, in an offended time. Everybody's offended, right? Offense is a manifestation of pride, by the way. But the power of God moves to faith. not to any of these other things. The power of God will be demonstrated, manifest, and flowing where there's faith in God. This, by the way, is how I'm approaching ministry and have been for a long time. I don't know where do you go to see the power in manifestation. I know that I'm not satisfied with how much we see in our midst. And we may get to this at some point in time, but here's something going round and round inside of me. We need to create an atmosphere for the power. We need to create an atmosphere for miracles. There are places where miracles happen and there are places where they don't. Unity is necessary for miracles to flow. Unity is the atmosphere where miracles flow. Maybe I'll say this much, and I better get off of that subject or I'll teach that subject. But the early church, signs, wonders, miracles were happening, right? People were, Barnabas was respected because he brought a great, sold some land, brought a great gift in. Ananias and Sapphira said, I like all that respect. We're going to sell something. We're going to give a big price, but we're going to hold some of it back for us. Here's the problem, but we're going to tell them this is all, hoping for respect and so on. And that is disunity. That's a problem. And it was such a problem to God that they paid with their lives for that lie, that mistake. Pretty harsh. Why was God so harsh? Well, it would have disrupted completely the flow of the supernatural and miracles. It had to be gotten rid of. So we live in a time when people place faith in so many different things, and I'm including the church, churches. They place faith in so many things. We're building out our building and improving it, and it helps. People enjoy a nice building. But if we depended on the building to do the work of God, we're going to be really disappointed with that, right? Or if we depended, I heard a radio ad for one of the churches in town, and I won't tell you which church, but the gist of the ad was this. If you'd like to come to a church where nobody bothers you and asks you to serve or to give, you just want to be, you know, just leave me alone, all that kind of stuff, then we're the church for you. Now, I don't go after people hounding them this and that. I will say, since I brought it up, every believer should serve in the body. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive, right? And he also girded himself about with a towel, and he says, I've done to you, you do for one another. So serving is important. I would be remiss if I didn't teach what the Bible says about giving and offerings. Bring the whole tithe in the storehouse. So we'll teach that. But I don't go around and say, you know what? I looked at the records. You haven't tithed in a while here. What is going on? Although maybe that'd be a good question, because maybe I could help you. But anyway, we don't do that. We don't pressure anybody. But I don't make that our appeal. That's not how we promote our church. Come to our church, and you can sit there and be a bump on a log, and it's just perfect. Now, I just this morning told you we need to respond, be responsive to God, right? So anyway, so that was one of those things that I went, huh? But I know at the same time, it's common. It's everywhere. You know, how do you present our church to somebody? And I have heard individuals presenting their church and so on. The pastor is so personable. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. And I really wish I was personable. When you get to know me a little bit, you know, everything's cool. But right at first, I'm kind of quiet and all that, you know. And we miss Pastor Sandy's ministry here. She was the personable one. She was the one draws everybody in. And we're looking forward to that returning as well. Amen? Sometimes people talk about the pastor's so persuasive. All the messages are just so awesome. Nothing wrong with awesome messages, but is that the thing to tell everybody, come to my church because. What do we say? What should we say? And I think we should say what Paul says. Come because the power is in demonstration. You come. God is going to show up in your life and touch you. Amen. So what are we looking at? Wisdom of men, education. I hold a doctorate. Big deal. It just says I've studied some things, that's all. You look at different churches and you can figure out this church is all about accept and love everybody, no matter what. And what they mean by that is don't ever say anything about sin and all that kind of stuff. So different philosophies, different reasonings. And boy, we're sure seeing some of this next one here recently. Science. What is science anymore? You know, the science says, follow the science. They follow the science until they don't follow the science, but they still call it the science. And you start figuring out that science is so politicized, it's hard to tell what's real science anymore. Science used to mean it was observable, measurable, repeatable, but not anymore. It's, this is my opinion, so this is what we're going to say. And when anytime you hear this phrase, the consensus of science, science doesn't have a consensus. It is or it is not. It doesn't matter how many agree. It's the old 2 + 2 will always equal 4, whether people agree and there's a consensus or not. So if we poll everybody and ask the question, what is 2 + 2? What does it equal? And we get a majority of people who say 4, well, then it must be true because the majority said it. No, it's true because it's true, no matter what the people. Even if we get a majority that says, no, it's 5, it's still 4, right? So here, you know, science is the approach. Science and politics, opinion, persuasiveness, personality. I've mentioned all of these things, you know. I may strike out on all those kinds of things, including personality and all that, you know. And I mention personality because that has been brought up as to, why do you go to church there? He's just, you know, and it was somebody talking about how warm of a person their pastor is, all that kind of thing. Great. Great. Get to know me a little bit. You'll find me okay. Right? But that's not why people are here. And it shouldn't be. And in talking about the power of God and the Spirit of God in manifestation, know this, spiritual things are not the same as mental or intellectual things. So when God moves and how God operates and how God responds to faith and how we place faith in God is a spiritual thing, not a mental thing. Of course, a faith itself is not mental. We can present a good argument and we can convince the head. And I don't know if you've noticed this in your own life, but you will listen to the word, consider the word, and at some point you kind of either see it with your heart or your head kind of goes, oh, well, there's a possibility, and your heart grabs hold of it. But faith itself is of the heart. It's not of the head. And probably all of us can think of things that we believe and exercise faith in and we know to be true, but the head can't explain it or understand it. Let's just take the virgin birth. Was Jesus, anybody in here believe Jesus was born of a virgin?
Yes.
Has your head figured that one out?
No.
Right, right. So I've heard individuals say, oh, well, we know the Bible's not true. How do you know that? Because it says Mary was a virgin when Jesus was born. And we know that can't happen. Right. We know that can't happen. It was a miracle. It was the power of God. It was the power of God. And there's many things like that. People discount miracles and so on. Well, because that can't happen. Well, it can't happen except for the power of God. Amen. Amen. So faith is of the heart. It is not of the mind. Recall Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not your mind, although your mind should trust the Lord too. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Lord, I don't understand. I don't get it. So, can you believe with your heart? Right? Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. And if He's directing and leading you to go in a particular direction, you go, now, Lord, this just doesn't make sense. I can't figure this. Lord, you're going to have to show me some reasons here. I'm going to have to understand. If I don't know where we're going, I'm not going. That kind of stuff. No. No. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Lord, I don't understand, but You're leading me, and I know that. And I trust You. And I believe with my heart that You're good, Your mercy endures forever, and all things work together for good to them that love God, call according to Your purpose. So I'm going to follow Your leading, make sense or not. Yeah. Amen. Back there in 1 Corinthians, Paul said, not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. What should we be seeing in ministry? What should we be seeing in our lives, whether we be with one another, individually by ourselves, a prayer meeting, a church gathering, even a church barbecue? What should we be seeing? We should be seeing demonstration and manifestation. In other words, it's not in the theoretical anymore, but it's part of what is happening right now, right here, and we all can see it, yes. Perceive it, understand it, know it, experience, and benefit from it. Now, already this morning, we've had a presence of the Spirit of God here, haven't we? Already that's a demonstration. Already that's a manifestation. Amen. Amen. Do you dance around like that at your work? Maybe if the Spirit of God comes on you at work too, right? The point is John's not like that except in the presence, except it's manifestation. So John is a demonstration of the power of God. And something about manifestations and demonstrations, when one sees it, one's more likely to jump in and join in. And another, and another, and another. And that's moving towards the unity that I was talking about. You get a congregation unified and very responsive, and you'll get great things. Now, some of us in the room here weren't here back in this day, but do you remember some years ago, we had that move of God right in this very room where God moved powerfully, and we had Sunday morning service, and we go, whew, let's come back tonight, and we did. And after Sunday night service, we go, whoa, let's come back tomorrow night, and we did. And after that, we said, whoo, man, the Spirit of God's moving. Let's come back tomorrow night. And we did. And it went on like that, 50 services, where it was almost every night. Here and there, we were taking a break, but almost every night. And we had visitation of angels. We had healing miracles. We had people fall out under the power and see visions. I was one of them, right? We had all kinds of demonstrations of power. But at the time, that may be at this point, the high point of unity and faith in our church in those days. In those days right there. We need to, sometimes people, I'm just waiting on God for a move of God. He may be waiting on us for some things, to step out, to be sure that we are unified, And it's not your job to go make somebody else be unified. It's your job to make sure you are unified. And this is hard for me to say. I let it slip once already a couple of 3 weeks ago, but the Lord recently said to me, there are some in the congregation who no longer believe for Pastor Sandy because it's been so long and looks like it's not going to happen. It's going to stay like this. And he said strong words to me. He said, for that reason, I drove them out. That's pretty strong. That's pretty strong that there are people driven out. But see, he's interested in unity too. There I am back on that unity again. But there should be demonstrations, manifestations of power. And I don't know about you, but I hunger and long for that again. We had a measure here today. We need more. We need more. If you like titles, I call this Faith in the Power. So not faith in man's wisdom, all that kind of stuff, all that other stuff. What should our faith be in? Our faith is in the power of God. The power of God can change somebody just like that. Amen. The most hardened, difficult person can be broken down by the Spirit of God in just a moment and changed forever. How do I know that? Well, I got changed forever. How about you? Yep. The power of God is necessary for someone to get born again. Amen. I know. I was there when I got born again. That was the power of God. I can't really explain it. I just suddenly saw and was in awe and understood. And with my heart, I reached out to the Lord and knew, whew, God just did something in me. And it forever changed me. That's the power of God. So God can do that to anybody willing, anybody open, unfortunately, in so many cases, people got to get really in trouble before they see some of this, you know, crash and burn, all that kind of stuff. And with family members and others, people, you know, when they crash and burn, you pray, oh God, may they call out on you and make a turn, right? Anyway, we are looking for demonstrations and manifestations of the Spirit and of power. Go to 1 Corinthians 11 for descriptions of manifestations, differing gifts, and so on. And it goes through 9 spiritual gifts, but more general in category, all of these are manifestations of the Spirit as He wills. That should be part of church. That should be part of church. Some of those things, you know, when the unity is right, when faith is high, when we're moving in the right direction, there will be tongues, interpretation, prophecy, signs and wonders, miracles, healings, deliverances, all that kind of stuff. I know people from time to time hold what they call a deliverance service, and they attempt to do deliverance. Deliverance is more of a thing being in the power of God, and now the power can flow and manifest. It's not calling a service a deliverance service and going through a variety of antics. Well, that's a different subject, but a lot of times people cause more trouble than they help with such an approach. But anyway, the Apostle Paul excluded all approaches except preach the word and have demonstrations and manifestations of the Spirit and of the power of God. So our faith is not to be based on somebody's speaking abilities or their persuasiveness or their charm or their personality or their attractiveness. Anybody remember Jonah? Jonah, prophet of God, was sent to Nineveh to go preach repentance to Nineveh. And Jonah said, I don't like those people. God, and I'd rather you just burn them down. And Jonah, rather than go to Nineveh to preach to people, because he knew God would forgive them. How did he know God would forgive him? Because he sent them to preach so they could respond. That means that they're going to respond. That means God's going to forgive him. And he thought, no, those people should be smoked, God. So he got on a ship to go away rather than obey God. And a storm comes up, right? And it's all trouble. And Jonah knows, it's me. Throw me in the ocean and you all will be all right. So Jonah's thrown in the ocean, and the scripture says he's swallowed by a great fish. And he spends time in the belly of the fish, right? And you may say, well, that's impossible. He would be digested. Nothing's impossible for the power of God, right? And then Jonah repents in the belly of the fish, the scriptures tell us. And the fish goes near to land, and he spewed out, and he goes onto the dry land. There is actual, at least one, I think there's more than one, account of something like this actually happening, where a human swallowed by whale, there's enough air inside the belly and so on, they survive for a time, but the gastric juices, it burns the skin quickly. So Jonah, when he was out on dry land and went to Nineveh, he was scarred, burned, looked awful. What's wrong with you? Well, I'm kind of half digested by a fish, you know. The thing about it was that those people in that country had some sort of a belief or an understanding or a prophecy that someone would come from the sea and preach the way to be saved. They were looking, and don't know if it was personally witnessed or not, but they had some belief in a fish god, sending someone from the sea, from the fish, to tell them something. So when Jonah hit Nineveh, all scarred and ugly and nasty, he preaches, repent, you wicked people, probably with no love in his voice. And Nineveh repented. So it wasn't his personality, it wasn't his charm, it wasn't his appearance. It was the power of God in manifestation because one man finally obeyed God. The best things you could ever imagine are going to happen in this church if I will obey God. Even though I may look half digested by a fish.
On your birthday.
Yeah. Our faith is in the power, the demonstration, the manifestation of God. We've been talking about healing a fair amount. To get healed, for someone to be healed by the power of God, we must experience the demonstration of the power of God. Now, literally, there are healing processes, but most of the time when we come, we're looking for an acceleration. We're looking for something that's medically not viable, or you can't usually expect it. Depending on how you define miracles, I like, and I'll paraphrase, but you know, Brother Hagin used to talk about any suspension of natural occurrence, anything more than what you would otherwise expect, any acceleration, any going further is the power of God. It's miraculous. If you have some sort of a thing in your body, some medical condition, a lot of times doctors, well, it's a this and a this, and then they'll tell you the normal course of events. And we went through that with Pastor Sandy too. They gave us absolutely no hope whatsoever. And at one point in time, I realized, how dare they tell her future? What qualifies them to tell her future? If the Spirit of God tells me about her future, and a doctor tells me about her future, I'm going to go with God. Is that miraculous? Yes, it's absolutely miraculous. So any suspension, help, extra, more than, whether it be in great magnitude or little bit, that's the power of God. That's the power of God. Amen. So you need to have the power in manifestation. You need to experience the power in your own body for healing power. The woman with the issue of blood that touched Jesus' hem of his garment, he was in a crowd, all kinds of people bumping one another, you know. Could you imagine what that's like trying to walk and everybody's bumping one another? In the press is how the scripture defines that. Yet Jesus suddenly stops and says, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" Why does it say that he knew somebody? Of course, there are a lot of people touching him, but somebody touched him differently. How did he know that? Tell me. He felt the power. One translation says virtue, another says power. He felt the power go out of him. And some of us here in the room here, we've prayed for people. You can feel the power in manifestation. You can feel it go out of you and into somebody. And probably all of us, we felt the power come in, right? Yes. I'm sad to say that sometimes I pray for people, I feel the power flow and move into them and come right back. Wow. And you can feel that, you know. So the power must be in manifestation for healing to work. And you can receive that by faith at home. You can receive that in a worship time. You can receive it in a shouting time. You can receive it in a repenting time. You can receive it in church service and praise and worship time. You can receive it in an altar call where we lay hands on the sick. There's just any place, any time. One of the courses that I took in Bible school is called Charismatic Perspective, and it's about the history of the charismatic movement. And one of the reasons to study that is there have been those excesses along the way where people do some crazy stuff. Whenever there's a correction in theology, everybody's over here, and then we discover from the Word, and the pendulum swings back towards the center of the road in truth and usually goes too far into the other excess, and then you got to correct that, and it comes back, and a lot of people go back to the other excess. You know, the middle of the road is where we need, so be able to spot excesses in either direction. And Brother Hagin used to say, for every mile of road, there's 2 miles of ditch. So it's a lot easier to get in the ditch about a thing than it is to stay middle of the road, you know. You have to have that power of God flowing and manifesting in you for a healing, and it can come so many different ways, and we can experience that. A persuasive argument won't get you healed. Now you might say, well, but Pastor Dan, you were teaching and it was so persuasive and I saw the logic of it and I saw the scriptures. Yeah, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, and it may be persuasive and it may be powerful and it may be logical and it may be reasonable as presented by the scriptures, but what it is faith comes in response to the word, not a persuasive argument. Because there are peddlers of lies who can be very persuasive. It sounded good. It made it sound so good. He was so excited about when he said it. All that kind of stuff, you know. It's not a persuasive argument that gets you healed. It's faith in the power. And if you have ever had one experience with the power of God, you can have another. And another. And another. And another. Now we got good and stirred up this morning in our praise and worship. That's an experience with the power. I want some more. And I want to go further. And I want to go deeper. And I'd like to have such a time as is in the book of Acts where it says the place where they were meeting was shaken. I'd like to feel this building shake.
Amen.
Amen. So we can have more and more and more. Well, when God gets good and ready, he'll just shake the building. No. You go back and look. They were all in one accord. They were praising God. They were praying, you know, and in response to their prayer and their praise and their appeal to God, the building was shaken. So what am I saying? I'm saying just because we've had some experiences in the power means we can have more and more and more. There's an atmosphere for miracles. Paul wrote about, you know, when you gather together and the Spirit of the Lord is present and I'm present in spirit. In that case, he was talking about dealing with somebody disciplinary situation and handle it in the spirit, not by beating the guy up. But there's other places where Jesus, what I'm thinking of is when they lowered the man down through the roof, the paralytic that was healed. It says it was a meeting of the teachers of the law and the Pharisees and all the religious people were there. And it says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. Yet only one got healed. There are times when the power of the Lord is present, even in our church, and nothing happens. I don't like that. How about you? Let's make sure we don't have that. Just talking about it. I feel it now. Glory to God. And the power present is not a feeling, though when it comes, you probably will feel the power of the Lord. Hallelujah. And there's something about getting in on what's going on that in a very real way manifests itself. Several of you have experienced this and you've told me about it. If you will go from back there to up here, you can feel there's a difference. Why is that? Spirit of God is just as present in the back row as he is in the front row. But there's something about moving yourself into the center of what God's doing. And for God's purposes, for this moment right now, his anointing and power is going to be upon who he's called to minister in that service. So it'll be something upon me. And many of you have said things about, you know, either when I walk over there, or when you walk near to me, you feel it, you feel it, you feel it, right? Well, that's not me. That's God. But it's an invitation into, hey, get into what he's talking about. This is me delivering the word, the Lord says, you know. And if you'll receive this into your heart, this power will flow. And sometimes I can feel who's pulling on it and drawing it. You ever be in a service where a minister is just kind of, he gets to a point and he starts walking, he can feel that. And zero in on somebody, they're drawing with their faith. They're drawing with their faith. Drawing with their faith. Why is that? That's faith in the power. Faith in the power. Faith. I started telling you about that charismatic perspective class, right? I don't think I finished the story. But he was saying that what a charismatic is one who believes that at any moment, anywhere, The Spirit of God is right there ready to move in a supernatural way, to manifest himself, to demonstrate power. You could be in the grocery store and God is ready to move in power. Pushing your cart, oh, happy you, right? And all of a sudden God says right there. And you say, is there something in your life that you need God to help you with? And they break down and cry and say, in the name of Jesus. The Spirit of God is ready to move on people like that if we are. If we have faith in the power. Hallelujah. As long as I live, I will never forget the testimony of a fellow Rhema student who came out of Cuba. His family escaped the torture and the, because they were Christians and devout Christians and so on. Coming out of Cuba was a great ordeal, but they escaped. And now he's his parents were in ministry and he's a ministry student like me. But he was talking about going to the grocery store. And just minding his business, going through the produce, and all of a sudden, this lady, he gets near, she goes, like that. And he said, she crawled up in the fruit and tried to get away from him up like a cat might go backwards up into the fruit. And she said, fruit was falling all over the place. And she was just reacting to him. And he said, I said, come out in the name of Jesus, and I went my way. That's a demonstration of the Spirit that both he recognized. And so did that demon-possessed person, that demon-possessed lady. She knew the power was there. We should have more of that. Do you make people nervous? Some people? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know. We may have to talk about how do you make sure that your life is such that the power is in you, available. I mean, you live like any old thing. That's what you're going to be, is any old thing. But you live devoted to God, reserved unto God, and so on. God can do much more, and that power will be in much greater demonstration and manifestation. Amen. So we can and should be having these experiences. The same power and the same Spirit that I experienced when I got born again was accessible and recognizable to me when I got Spirit-filled. This is one of the reasons, oh, I know this is right, because it's the same Spirit leading me, and it's the same presence of Spirit. It's the same. When I got born again, that presence of the Lord upon me, His Spirit, was there in a greater manifestation when I got Spirit-filled. Amen. And many, many times since then, you get to where you know the presence and the voice and the Spirit of God. You know the Spirit of God. Once you know the Spirit of God, if you'll cooperate, you can move right into these things every day, every day, every day. My faith is in the power. My faith is in the power. My faith is in the power. Hallelujah. I can feel faith in this room rising toward the power of God. You can pull it into your spirit. Hallelujah. Let me show you quickly here, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Now let's grow into this, but when you talk about your church, I pray to God that you will be able to say, come to our church, the power of God moves in our services. Amen. That there's just no mistaking what do you say about your church. Well, it's nice, the chairs are green and soft. That won't occur to you. It will be, power of God comes in. I don't know, you might scare some people. You might scare some people. And by the way, when we first started our church, well, a year and a half into starting our church, we went to downtown Kankakee and it created a little bit of stir amongst all the believers in Kankakee who were Spirit-filled, you know. They heard a little bit of signs and wonders, miracles and things like that, came to our church in downtown Kankakee area. Anytime you allow, encourage, participate in manifestations of the Spirit, you're going to get the kooky ones. There's going to be those that are overboard, need a little bit of teaching and instructing. Do you remember the lady with the flag? Yeah. Well, Brother Hagin said it this way, I'd rather have a little wildfire than no fire. Amen. Amen. So if we grow in this direction, and I'm calling us too, there's going to be some who will come and they'll be, you know, maybe to excess something. Mm-hmm. That's okay. To complete what Brother Hagin would say, I'd rather have a little wildfire than no fire. There's always enough wet blankets around to put it out.
All right.
Yeah, so don't be a wet blanket.
No.
Somebody needs to be corrected. I'll do that.
Yes, I heard that.
Amen. I'll take care of that. And sometimes, well, Pastor Dan, why'd you let so-and-so just ramble on and that stuff? That obviously wasn't the Spirit of God. That wasn't prophecy. That wasn't prophesying. That was prophelying,
yeah.
Right? Well, usually all of us recognize that. It doesn't need to be called attention to,
yes.
Right? And eventually that lady didn't find room to do the thing she wanted to do the way she wanted to do it. Then she didn't come to church here no more, right? And it was almost humorous. I was on the stage while praise and worship was going on. I was playing guitar in those days. We had a really kicking praise and worship band, and man, we were getting with it. And I could see her toward the back aisle there, and I could see her, because we already had talked to her. I could see her looking, there's that usher there, and that usher's over there, and that one over there, and she made her run to the front because she thought she could get there before anybody could get to her. Right? The thing was, is when she's waving around the flag, she almost took Pastor Sandy's nose off. You know, she come like that, and she did that several times, but she was just reckless with that flag. If you want to wave your flag and that's your worship, you know, banners before God, fine. Do it back there and don't hit nobody with your flag.
Right?
But then she timed it out, come running by, and then right on her tail was John. And we just carried on. Yeah, she ducked to the back and John confronted her and had her kind of cornered. And then her true spirit came out. She started pounding on John's chest with her finger and in his face telling John what she thought, right? That was the true spirit. That was what she was about. So if we go down this road, we're going to see him again. Folks, it's all right. If some people dance rejoicing in the Lord and others dance because they want to be seen, and I'm thinking of one that every from time to time we'll see her here, and it's about being seen, and so we don't need that. That's a distraction. That's not honoring to the Lord. So calling attention to oneself, that's out of bounds. I had you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But know this, in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Boy, it sounds like our day, doesn't it? And by the way, this is not something you can pray against. And you see our nation this way, Lord, you know, I rebuke that in Jesus. No. The Bible says it's going to come. Well, it seems to me it's here.
Yeah, it is.
Right?
Yes, sir.
So in the midst of all this, verse 5, it says next, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people turn away. Now the ungodly doesn't have a form of godliness. They've abandoned all godliness, all pretense, all appearance. So the caution here is to the believer, even the church, to conduct ministry or a ministry and have no power proves that there is only religious form. Think about that again. To have no power in our services leaves us with a religious form. Well, we're not denying the power of God. He can move anytime he wants to. Refer to earlier remarks. We draw that. We receive that. We have faith for the power of God to be moving and in demonstration. Otherwise, is to deny the power. So we're cautioned here. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Among other things, it's said here, they are lovers of money, lovers of self, and so on. So religious form loves something other than God. And that's kind of a big statement. But religious form loves something other than God. How can you love God and not want any of that demonstration stuff? How can you love God and not want any manifestation of His power? I want the power of God to move and just make everybody agree with me. No, that's not going to cut it. God's going to move how God's going to move in terms of when He demonstrates Himself. Paul, around these verses, talks about the foolishness of preaching. We're not saved by the wisdom of men, but God has chosen the foolishness of preaching. He confounds the wise. He makes the wisdom of men nothing with what to men appears to be foolish. Paul more than once said, I'm willing to be a fool for Christ. David said, you know, his wife accused him when he was dancing, stripped off his kingly robes, and he was down to his skivvies. And his wife complained, my, isn't the king dignified? And what did he say? He said, I will be even more undignified than this. When it comes to my God, I'm going to dance, I'm going to shout, and I'm going to... He set aside his kingly robes was really what that was about. And he said, I'm just me, I'm just David, and I'm praising the Lord. Hallelujah. And even what she says, I don't care. You got to be willing to be a little bit that way. Amen. If you love God, you go with His program. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Isaiah 40, 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. It doesn't say here, he gives the smart a good thought. He doesn't present a good argument. He gives power. And those who have no strength, he increases strength. I can do all things through a great seminar, a good book, a persuasive speaker. No, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Reading on, verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We're talking about the power of God. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What can we say by these verses? We can say the power is given to those who expectantly wait upon the Lord. The waiting upon the Lord, that's an expectancy, looking for His leading, looking for what He's saying, not just, well, when He's God, when He wants to move, He'll move. He knows my address, and if He wants me to do something, He knows where to get a hold of me. No, that's not how that works. One more scripture, Mark chapter 6 and verse 1. And this is the occasion where Jesus was in His hometown. He's handed the scroll to speak at the synagogue. He's there on, it'd be Saturday service in their case. And He reads from Isaiah, Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me, preach the gospel to the poor, set at liberty them that are captive, open the eyes of the blind. You know the things that are said there. And Jesus is declaring, I'm the anointed one. And for any who would receive it, and they already knew, Jesus did miracles. Yeah. They didn't know how, but they knew that Jesus did miracles. Verse 6, chapter 6, 1, then He went out from there and came to His own country, and His disciples followed Him. And when the Sabbath had come, He began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing Him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to Him that such mighty works are performed by His hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at Him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. And then verse 5, now He could do no mighty work there, except that He laid His hands on a few sick people and healed them. And He marveled because of their unbelief. Then He went about the villages in a circuit teaching. So we see here Jesus declaring he is the anointed one. They knew of signs and wonders, miracles that happened in the ministry of Jesus, but he could not do them to his hometown crowd, hometown folks. Even for a while, his own brothers and his mother weren't too sure about Jesus. But it says why he could not do that, because of unbelief. So Jesus could not demonstrate the power of God because they did not believe Jesus. Said another way, they didn't have faith in the power of Jesus specifically. And we notice here, their minds reasoned away the power of God. Oh, we know this guy. His brothers are here. We know his mama. His sisters are here. He's a carpenter. Come on. Right? And they reasoned it away. And we're in danger of doing the same thing in our day as well. Reasoning away. It's not with words of wisdom. It's not in a given marketing approach. It's not in all these kinds of things. And those things are fine to the value that they would have. But our faith is to be in the power of God. Anywhere where the power cannot demonstrate and manifest, there is a measure of unbelief and a form of godliness. Not the real thing, just a form. You know, rituals can have great meaning and can be originated in a true, genuine heart of worship. But over time, the ritual can be hollowed out to where it doesn't mean anything to anybody anymore, and it's just a ritual. I'm not aware of anywhere in the scriptures where there's instruction, close your eyes, we're going to pray. But that's what we did in my house growing up. Bow your heads, close your eyes. I suppose it serves to lessen distraction, but nonetheless, you know, where'd that come from? The scripture? From God? No. In some places, Jesus said, watch and pray. Well, that's eyes open. Others, you know, lift your heads, lift your hands. All I'm saying is following wisdom of men, custom, tradition, and so on, a lot of them start right and end up wrong, right? And we have ours too, just like anybody else. So we have to keep thinking about, am I pursuing God? Am I pursuing God? What we're doing? What does that mean? And all that kind of stuff. But making sure we're not a form of godliness. Everything we do as a church needs to be destroying unbelief and placing faith in the power of God and not in anything else. Yes, we're building out our building, but I am not placing faith in, oh, if we just make the building beautiful, we'll have hundreds of people here. Nope. The building is just a tool, just a help, just to facilitate. Among other things, think about it. We're not a large congregation, yet we're paying cash as we go. And look what we've been able to do with this building compared to what it was back a while ago, right? And it's caught the attention of people who drive by. That is a manifestation of the power of God. That is a demonstration of the power of God, that a congregation like ours could do what we're doing. Well, it's all because we have a lot of millionaires in the church. No, I'm not saying there's not millionaires, but there's not a lot. And remember, Pastor Webb prophesied. He's looking at millionaires in the church. Amen. And you should be saying, that's me. That's me. So we need to be placing faith in the power of God and nothing else. Nothing else. Yes, let's make the building attractive. Let's keep it clean. Let's be friendly. There would be nothing wrong with some marketing, which just simply, just let people know. But even in our marketing, what are we going to say? Those are all just tools. But it's about connecting people up with the power of God. Amen. We can facilitate the power. We can facilitate demonstrations. We can facilitate manifestations of the Spirit of God. Or we can go in a different direction and do something else. It's our choice. I know which choice I want to make. How about you? Amen. Amen. Faith in the power. Let's have faith in the power. Lord, we just thank you and bless you for this word this day. And we right now endeavor to move in a direction of believing you for your power in manifestation. The difference will be made by the power of God, not by our wisdom. Even right now, Father, move among us. Do as you will among us. Father, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.